And the chance to work on something that's Doctor Who related is phenomenal because it's Doctor Who. It's just iconic. I also was really excited about, I'm a big sci-fi fan as well, so the chance to play somebody who was a little bit of a villain and a commander of a death fleet was just insanely exciting for me. So I never get to play the villain, so it was really fun to have that opportunity.
Today I felt little doubt that Pooja was completely in charge of this and we were going to be completely fine. So that was good. And my character is a warrior and I'm currently expecting a baby, so there's quite a lot to think about and worry about. So like I said, I felt like she's one of these people that's trying to work out every outcome in a situation where that's impossible. And I feel kind of the same. I could bring quite a lot of myself to that. I'm so impressed how just with audio, the whole visual world is created. It's so clear. And all the changes of spaces and the amazing different kinds of people and creatures that we're meeting, it's just totally brought to life. I just think the writing is fantastic. And to be in the studio today and hear a Sontaran was an extraordinary experience.
Once more, I apologise, Navok, and feel I ought to resign my post as of this.
Nonsense. You responded in accordance with honour, as the Doctor planned, I imagine. Your honour merely presented itself faster than my own.
Field Marshal Hanks also acted out of honour, Doctor. Was that also part of your plan?
No. No, it really wasn't.
You never know what it's going to be like when you work with somebody who's quite successful and, you know, is a name, but he's just so down to earth and so humble and just, you know, totally lovely to work with. And I've really, really enjoyed the session with him and with Lily. It's been an absolute dream.
Yeah, it's been really fun and playful. And he's got such a great mix of being able to be jokey, but also just keep the energy going in a really sustained way, which I think seems to me like the bit of a magic quality in these studio recordings.
I tell you what I've loved about this is because of the way that the whole story had to pan out, I love the fact that I've been able to get away with writing for kind of like both varieties of Sontaran, and you know, the Strax variety, the kind from the modern series, and also to have kind of like the classic rasping, malevolent Sontaran, you know, as if played by top flight RSC actors underneath a rubber head. I think that's been a joy to hear.
The villain of this piece is my favourite alien, favourite enemy of Doctor Who. I remember seeing it as a child and it reminded me of a car crash between a baked potato and the late great Clive James.
I think the Sontarans represent the best of Doctor Who, really, in that, yes, they represent genuine peril. They are clearly incredibly violent, incredibly sort of amoral, with these warped values of honour through death and glory. But at the same time, there's so much scope for absurdity and humour around creatures that take themselves so very, very seriously and that have such ridiculous goals in life, you know, to just destroy everything. I think Tim found the perfect balance today, that we have peril, but we also can see that these are very amusing, entertaining creations.
Sontarans made more sense for me after a character like Strax turned up in the series. They kind of became... There was always a satirical side to them, I think. There was always this side which is kind of like about the worst excesses of what happens when, like, sort of an army starts to glorify itself. There was always that in it. And the fact that Strax turned up and gave us a character who, as a Sontaran, could make a choice, you could see that Sontarans can make choices just like human beings can. That's opened up a whole bunch of stuff, and I think that's what's made this story possible in particular.
And I've been back in flux on screen. Yes, the new Sontarans of design. Yeah, this is very exciting. After last year, spending most of the year in my flat, suddenly getting the call from Cardiff to go, would you like to be the Sontarans again? Would you consider doing that? And I had to consider for all of half a microsecond and went, yes, please. And so it was great being down in Cardiff, so being back in the Sontaran armour and having the full redesign as well. He's got a fantastic suit from Ray Holman with, harking back to the Time Warrior. This wonderful quilted material and sort of like, and the neck ring, their never-ending neck ring, which is now 3D printed. But yeah, it never gets. It looks fantastic. It never gets any easier to wear, but it's. but it looks great, and a completely new prosthetic as well, done by Danny Rose Elias, and her company Square Peg, and it's yeah, very different from how it was constructed before, because before it was like a two part sort of piece from Millennium Effects, and now it's more like four different pieces that all glue together onto your face. And so it's, yeah, it's like learning how to puppet a different sort of thing, because it responds in a slightly different way. And and also now we've got prosthetic teeth too, so talking through prosthetic teeth is always gives a slightly different quality too. So yeah, it's great being back, but a whole new set of parameters to play with. But of course the Sontarans are the same, and they stride around, they're angry, they shout. And yeah, I had some fun stuff to do.
Ultimately, the land is fertile and looks after us.
You've made a ritual of it.
It's important we all attend, so that the sharing is fair.
I sometimes overdo it a bit. It's very pleasant.
It's a big part of my job is to make sure that Chris is having a great day. And actually, that's quite easy to do when we've got lovely actors and lovely engineers working with us and lovely people at the studio. And the scripts are so incredible. And our producer's all right. That helps.
It's absolutely amazing to hear it bloom. It's just kind of like I'm listening in from Bristol today, and it's just fantastic to hear it kind of like ignite. It's a dream for a writer. It's absolutely fantastic. And kind of like it was, I set some challenges up in this one, I think, as well. I think I kind of like, you know, having heard the absolutely amazing work that Helen and Chris and all the rest of the team did on Planet of the End on the previous Ninth Doctor adventure that I wrote, I knew that I could do something cinematic here. So I was, you know, I've been throwing in things which are like, to my mind, are the equivalent of kind of like those amazing scenes that you get in film like Children of Men, where it's a single tracking shot throughout an action sequence that just follows the actors all the way through a battlefield. And it's that kind of thing that I just think, yeah, is it going to work? And just listening in today, it really, really has. It's fantastic.
Hello, my name's Helen Goldwyn, and I am the director of The Last of the Zeta Scene.
Do I look like a vet? Have I ever looked like a vet?
You said you were the doctor.
Well...
So don't stand around. I've been waiting hours. What a revolting jacket. I suppose it's for protection when you're birthing Andorian cattle. I think you'd better get a move on.
When I first read this episode, there's so much subtext and there's so much that us as a creative team have to kind of put into it, because the writer has put it all in there to be discovered. And it's only when I read it the second time I really fully saw the depth of the genius of it. You know, I've loved it the first time, but the second time I thought, oh, I see how this is going to go. And sure enough, we've had a company of incredible, you know, just people with such incredible careers and who've brought something to it that has got such depth. And the wit and the humour of today has been really quite outstanding. For Nell, we've brought in a brand new actor to Big Finish called Alice Feetham, who I knew I wanted a regional accent. And when I heard her sort of slight northern accent and the girlishness and the sort of cheerfulness in her voice, I knew she was right for Nell, because Nell's a real optimist, even though she's living quite a turgid sort of life when we first meet her.
My name's Alice Feetham and I play Nell.
And I'm Martin Ellis and I play Delius. And I also play the Rotter and a couple of bystanders and a hood.
Oh, bystanders,
or two.
Yes.
What are we looking for, Doctor? What fragrant treats will get the creature's juices flowing? The luscious cuts of meat, the most aromatic sauces.
It needs to stink. The Zeta scene puts more faith in its nose than its eyes.
Doctor, this is not a job for an aesthete.
Cheer up, May. Let's go bin dipping.
Well, I thought the Rotter character I play, he could be a cad or a rotter, you know, like a Terry Thomas. But I thought far more funny, as he's a sort of, he likes smelling things, or he fancies himself as a bit of a gourmand, you know, that sort of thing. I think he was more sort of, I leant more towards Brian Blessed with it, and thought of a sort of somebody who's excessive
Like Brian's excessive with his expressions, and this character's expressive with his love of things. And then the other one, I just thought we'd thought of we'd do like a bit of a nod to the Goon Show, really, and have a little sort of mess about with this character who sort of speaks through, you know, sort of the air in a way, and just to make it a bit different from you know, as I was saying to Helen said, you know, to make it a bit different, you know, in timbre. In tone, and so I didn't sound like I was getting paid money for old rope by doing the same voice twice. No, it's a bit of fun, but I'm also having a bit of fun.
Funny though, isn't it? You two being mermaids.
Funny?
Well, being spiders. Just in the bathtub, you drown.
Did she say what I think she said? She actually used the S word.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot.